Amid the news about raises at Walmart, don't miss the promises about more humane scheduling of workers. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's the news that Walmart has pledged to raise the pay of about 40% or 500,000 of its rank-and-file employees. But the largest private retailer in America is also talking about offering more consistent scheduling to curb some of the unpredictability of shift work that can be debilitating for workers and their families. Gigi Duban reports.
Imagine day to day, you have a job, but you don't know how much you're working, when you're working, or even whether you're working. You're just pretty much on call. This is just-in-time scheduling.
Which might mean that one worker gets 4 hours here or 3 hours there.
Elise Gould is senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute. She says scheduling this way saves employers money. But for workers, it's a huge problem.
Having their hours be different from 1 week to the next, from one day to the next, can be very difficult, particularly for working parents who need childcare for their kids at different hours of the day every week.
Barry Eidlin is a sociologist at the Rutgers School of Management. He says Walmart's not the only company that's been criticized for scheduling employees this way. Now, Eidlin says, others might follow suit.
You know, if people follow them in one direction, they might follow them back in the other direction.
After all, he says, they are all competing for the same group of employees. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
In a few hours, European finance ministers will sit down in Brussels to try to hammer out some kind of path forward for Greece. Driven by widespread popular support, Greece's new left-wing government is looking to ease years of austerity there. Here's the BBC's Europe editor, Gavin Hewitt.
Today's meeting is of immense importance for the Eurozone and for Greece. Failure would leave Greece without emergency funding in just over a week's time. The Greeks believe they've already made concessions. They've asked for an extension to the existing loan agreement. They have said they won't take unilateral action that undermines the budget targets, and they've agreed to international supervision. Germany is unconvinced. It wants a much clearer commitment that Greece will complete the budget cuts and reforms it's already signed up to. Yesterday evening, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel spoke on the phone for 50 minutes with the Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras. The mood was described as positive.
The BBC's Gavin Hewitt there. Now let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.3%. DAX in Germany down 0.2%. The key stock index in Athens is up 1.6% now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up slightly. The yield on the 10-year Treasury in the U.S. is up at 2.1% this morning. About a week ago, it was down at 1.97%. You can see all this talk of the Fed raising interest rates as early as June playing out there. I don't know if we need a full listener discretion advisory here, but if you're not in the mood for catty or consumerist comments, be forewarned. The Academy Awards are Sunday, the glam squads are geared up, and the red carpet is set to reopen for business. Yes, business. But as Sally Herships reports, some A-list stars are beginning to push back against red carpet the money machine.
We all know designers often dress the biggest stars for free, and the stars thank them by dropping their names on the red carpet. At least that used to be the deal. Now there's the Manny Cam, the Clutch Cam, who did your hair, your jewelry. The red carpet has become an industry.
It's a moneymaker. It's a moneymaker for the actresses. It's a moneymaker for the networks because they're selling the ads. It's a moneymaker for the designers because that everybody is aspirational and wants to wear Dior.
Our Corey Hay is a celebrity publicist. He says the red carpet offers an irresistible combination for advertisers, movie stars plus tens of millions of TV viewers and millions more on social media.
In fact, some actress even talked about her underarm deodorant. It was like unbelievable.
You know, there are these moments where you're like, gosh, that dress is perfect. Yeah. I wish that girl would have worn dry spray.
That's actress Kat Graham describing her dress and her degree deodorant to ease Juliana Rancic on the red carpet at the Grammys. But some actresses are starting to push back against all the promotion. At the same award show, Nicole Kidman refused to tell Ryan Seacrest who she was wearing. And at the Golden Globes, instead of showing off her manicure, Mad Men actress Elizabeth Moss flipped Ease Manicam the bird.
That Manny Cam, again, I hate being cynical. I don't really want to be catty, but, you know, the first thing to go on a woman is her hands.
The other thing to go when stars don't play along, what's known as a red carpet credit. brands pay stylists a fortune to get their products onto actresses. And when they succeed,
it means that you get to say, for example, Angelina Jolie used our brand on the red carpet.
Tyler Williams is a beauty publicist. He says a star's look can pay off for them, too. Take Lupita Nyong'o, the young actress who won an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave.
She's a perfect example of what we're talking about.
Williams says Nyong'o nailed it on the red carpet and scored a contract with Lancôme. Jennifer Lawrence landed a multi-million dollar deal with Dior. Then there are the mocktresses. Merle Ginsburg, who covers style for The Hollywood Reporter, came up with the term.
Someone like Jessica Alba and Kate Bosworth, I don't think, have been in movies for years. People pay them to go to parties wearing great clothes, and then they send out press releases.
And we eat up every bit of it. If you have any doubts about the financial future of the red carpet, Tyler Williams says just look at the magazines lining the checkout aisle. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And as an antidote to all that glam, may I switch briefly to the institutional food industry? Quiet suppliers of cafeterias, summer camps, and often the little restaurant near you. Sysco wants to buy U.S. Foods, but now the Federal Trade Commission is suing to block that merger that could put 75% of this business under the aegis of a single company. This is Sysco, S-Y-S-C-O. The other Sysco, C-I-S-C-O, does computer networking equipment and isn't presumably interested in selling 5-gallon jars of mayonnaise or pitted olives. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.